Good evening. Welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. I'm Pastor Bibb. A special warm welcome to any guests or visitors who may be joining us this evening. Please know you're always welcome here at Trinity Lutheran Church. As we've now come to what is historically called the Triduum, that is the 3 days where it is essentially one continual worship service, which is why tonight there will be no benediction that concludes the service. Which will then demonstrate to us that our meditation on our Lord's Passion continues until we come to the celebration of Easter. As part of that, at the end of the service, or near the end of the service, we will have chanted Psalm 22. We have two men from the congregation that will be chanting that this evening, so that will be a duet. Just please note that. I'll direct your attention to the inside of the back cover of the bulletin, where we have there a summary of our service this evening. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. By eating his body and drinking his blood, we proclaim to all the world that Jesus is indeed our Passover Lamb, who was sacrificed for us on Calvary. In Christ, the Lord remembers us in mercy and remembers our sin no more. He forgives us all our iniquity. With such love, he loved his own who were in the world, and even loves us to the end. As he washes us and feeds us in love, let us love one another, just as he has loved us. We do rejoice that this evening, on this anniversary of the Lord's institution of the Lord's Supper, that we receive that very meal, the blessed body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, as it comes to us in and under bread and wine. And according to his testament, according to his word, he bids us to be in unity, not just in what we confess about the sacrament, but unity on the whole of what we confess as Christians. Therefore, we ask that all those joining us at the altar this evening be members either of this congregation or of a sister congregation of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, joining us in that one common Orthodox confession of the Christian faith. Our service is Divine Service Setting 3 as it begins on page 184. We now sing the first hymn. O Lord, in this wondrous sacrament you have left us a remembrance of your passion. Grant that we may so receive the sacred mystery of your body and blood, that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for Holy Thursday is from Exodus chapter 12. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall be for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month every man shall take a lamb according to the father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of persons, according to what each can eat, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats, and you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. Then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the flesh that night roasted on the fire. With unleavened bread and bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague will befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial day. And you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judge ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not understand now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, The one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not every one of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, Not all of you are clean. When he had washed their feet and put on his outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I, then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know of whom I have chosen. But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now, before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, But the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I am telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he. The scripture Jesus spoke of was Psalm 41, verse 9. In that verse, King David prayed, Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. On that Thursday evening in the upper room, the scripture was indeed fulfilled by Judas Iscariot, the betrayer of our Lord. Tonight we will look intently at how the betrayal of Judas fulfilled the words first written by King David, and we will see how God used this betrayal for our good as we rejoice in the blessed sacrament of Christ's body and blood. All throughout the midweek preaching in this season of Lent, I've emphasized two things. One, that the Psalms speak about Jesus, and two, that because the Psalms speak about Jesus, they therefore also speak about you. In holy baptism, you are joined to the Lord and are now become one, as the scriptures say. Therefore, we can think of Psalm 41 in part as a biographical sketch about you, dear Christian. Psalm 41 tells both your story and mine as surely as it tells the history of our Lord. But Psalm 41 was written by King David, which means that the psalm also gives us a sketch of David, the ancestral father of our Lord. "Even my close friend," King David wrote, "in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Now, it's possible that David was talking about Absalom, his most handsome and charming son. Absalom, he grew up on King David's knee. Absalom ate his father's bread at his father's table. He enjoyed his father's generous and reconciling love and every comfort of his father's house. But Absalom also harbored a temper and held a grudge that led him to conspire against his father and even to murder his own brother. Absalom tried to overthrow his father and occupy the throne of Israel for himself. In a figure of speech expressed by Psalm 41, Absalom lifted his heel against his own father, David. David was shaken to the core by this blow. Now, just for a moment, I want you to think of the various muscles in the human body. Hardly any physical blow can exert more impact than a raised heel. A closed fist can certainly do damage, especially when it's thrown by a strong man with an experienced arm and calloused knuckles. A swung elbow can drop an opponent larger than you, but only if it hits the right target. By comparison, it's very difficult for anyone to receive the uncoiled blow of a raised heel and still remain on his feet. Even a petite woman's raised heel can kick like a mule, as the saying goes. The heel explodes out like a cannonball, involving nearly every muscle in the leg. And in this way, it could be said that Absalom lifted his heel against David. Absalom laid low the one who had lifted him up and had given him every good thing. Now, looking to the gospel, Judas Iscariot did the same thing to Christ Jesus, our Lord. As it is written, "One of the 12, whose name was Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, 'What will you give me if I deliver him,' that is, the Christ, over to you?' And they paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that moment, he sought an opportunity to betray him." So records St. Matthew. Judas did that terrible thing because he held malice toward Jesus, an incomprehensible malice toward Jesus, who had given to Judas every good thing. When traveling together with the disciples, Jesus entrusted to Judas all the finances of the entire group. We learn about that in John 13. When Jesus sent out his disciples and gave them his own divine power to heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, and to cast out demons, the gracious ordaining hand of our Lord was gently also laid upon the head of Judas Iscariot. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, as you heard in tonight's gospel, Jesus even knelt before Judas and humbly washed his feet alongside all the rest of the disciples. Jesus likewise served Judas the holy communion of Christ's body and blood given and shed even for the sins of Judas. Our Lord knew beforehand. He knew from the scriptures of the Old Testament, from Zechariah, from various Psalms, who would betray him. Jesus faithfully loved his betrayer nonetheless. Judas fulfilled in the life of Christ what King David had earlier experienced and written in Psalm 41. "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." David likewise wrote in another psalm concerning Jesus, "I went about as though I grieved for my friend or my brother." Yet again, David said in another psalm, again speaking words concerning Christ our Lord, "It is not an enemy who taunts me, then I could bear it. It is not an adversary who deals insolently with me, then I could hide from him. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together. Within God's house, we walked in the throng of worshipers. My companion stretched out his hand against his friends. He violated his covenant. Even my close friend in whom I trusted." Those words are indeed about David, who suffered the betrayal of his beloved son Absalom, "who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." Those words are likewise about Jesus, the true and messianic son of David, whom God had promised. Because those words are about Jesus, dear saints, they're also about you. You are the baptized of Christ and one body with him. You know, dear saints, among the many emotions that betrayal can evoke, perhaps the strangest of them is loneliness. Betrayal can make you feel abandoned, can make you feel alone. Betrayal can focus your thoughts only on that one lost friend, such that you, well, begin to ignore or you're not able to see all the other friends who have remained faithful to you. David wrote in Psalm 41 about himself, and he wrote it about Christ in part, so that we would be able to draw comfort from the ancient fact that we are not alone. We are in good company when we're betrayed by those whom we've made our equal, our companion, our familiar friend, even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me. Many people can read those words as a biographical sketch. Life in this dreary, sin-corrupted world assures us that we shall each eventually get to a point where we can see ourselves in this story. I know how my betrayers have left me forsaken and abandoned over the years. Who has betrayed you? Again, think of the muscles in the human body. Our betrayers, they have the power to kick like a mule, to bowl us over, to lay us low in the dust. Both our Lord Jesus and our forefather David, they can help us with that threat. Absalom dealt his father David a harsh blow that laid him low, but David survived. By the power and grace of God, he rose to his feet and he sat down again on the throne that had been given and promised to him by his Maker and Redeemer. Likewise, Judas Iscariot dealt our Lord Jesus a mighty blow, laying him low in the depths of the grave. Jesus rose again from the dead. God crowned him with glory and honor because of the suffering of death and because he loved not his life even unto death. Thus Jesus could say to his Father in heaven, in the words of his earthly father David, in the closing words of Psalm 41, "By this I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me, but you have upheld me because of my integrity and set me in your presence forever. Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen." Those words are also your words. David said those words. Jesus said those words. You have been given God's Spirit that you might likewise say and pray those words. "I know that you delight in me. My enemy will not shout in triumph over me." Beloved in the Lord, our enemy, the devil, has been laid low by the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. Though his feet were nailed to the cross, nevertheless, Jesus crushed the head of the serpent, Satan. It is no small poetic fact that the place where Jesus was crucified was called the place of the skull. And so the one who was promised to crush the head of the serpent firmly had his cross planted. One could say crushed into Golgotha, the place of the skull. In his suffering and death, Jesus gave to Satan a mortal blow that kicked like a mule. Judas meant his betrayal for evil, but God used it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today, echoing the words of Joseph. And now in the blessed sacrament of Christ's body and blood, we receive provision from the Lord that is far beyond any earthly feast. For in the supper of our Lord, we receive the very bread of life and the wine of heaven. In Christ is salvation, life, and resurrection from the dead. By him we are redeemed and set at liberty. And in this blessed meal, we receive the fruits of his redemption. In the Lord's Supper, we remember all that Christ has accomplished for us. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let us therefore receive these gifts with humble and contrite hearts, turning away from sin and rejoicing in the Lord's mercy towards sinners, those he has redeemed and marked by his blood. Let us not be like Judas, the betrayer, who received the body and blood of Jesus in an unworthy manner, rejecting the Lord and his word. Instead, let us hold firm to the faithful testament of our King, of our Savior, Jesus Christ. For he has caused his wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. And as he himself has told us, my flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. It's a beautiful thing that we got to chant those words tonight. God be praised for his gracious provision and for his redemption, which is sealed in the blood of Christ, our Passover lamb, who has been sacrificed for us. As we depart from his table, we know and we trust that we have peace with God through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We have strength of faith and strength for this life and the unshakable promise of life everlasting, life without end in paradise. Dear saints, as we live out the days that the Lord has appointed for us in this world, we will not pretend. Those who have betrayed us have indeed hurt us, having raised their heel against us. We won't pretend. The pain and the shame and the loneliness can be undeniably great. But those things shall remain for only a little while, because the Lord your God shall vindicate you and raise you up and set you above your enemies all around. Even those who have betrayed you and raised their heel against you, the resurrection of the Lord shall inevitably make it so. To this we can say with David in the final words of Psalm 41, Amen and Amen. In the name of Jesus, Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, watch and guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faith directed toward the self-offering of Christ, that built on his humble image, the church would resist the allure of worldly power and her members pursue their own sacrificial callings. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord,
for the deliverance of our souls, which are precious in God's sight, and for confidence that Christ himself prays with us, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In gratitude for the New Testament in Christ's blood, whose institution is celebrated this day among all peoples, that the world for which he died may know him and his sacrifice, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have requested our prayers, including John Mishlick, Pat Taney, Norma Horine, Charlotte Locke, Bob Rash, Chuck Lichty, Lisa Rash, and Ted Phillips, and those we now name in our hearts. That God would grant relief to the suffering, comfort to the grieving, and peace to the dying, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O God, you desire not the death of sinners, but rather that we return from our evil way and live. We come before you, although we have sinned and deserve only your wrath, yet we flee to your mercy in Christ Jesus, our Lord, who gave his body and his blood for our redemption. Lord, grant that we may ever thus believe and never waver. Grant that in such faith we may worthily come to your altar to eat the very body and drink the true blood which your Son has given for our redemption. In thanksgiving, we remember and proclaim the sufferings and death of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we place our trust. Until his return, graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.